said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Are you thankful for the Lord's grace in your life today? I want to challenge you today, the thought of being thankful for God's grace, but not only that, realizing the responsibility that we have to honor and glorify God because of that. The Bible continues in verse number 18 says, And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Surely the Lord does delight in giving us his grace, but the goal is to honor and glorify him through it, and I want to challenge you to be thankful for his grace and then be mindful of honoring and glorifying him because of it. Brother Peterson, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
But join me standing. We're going to sing the Star Spangled Banner.
Right. that paid my way. Death its price when it flowed down from the cross. My sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he sings, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you. There is a blood that sights the blind, that heals the sick, the lonely finds. It has the power to free the bound as chains they fall upon the ground. So pour it out to cleanse my soul, because it lives to make me whole. I owe my life, I owe my all. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I tell you that he died.
you would stand once again, we'll sing hymn number 243, Victory in Jesus. Hymn number 243, standing as we sing.
Offering this morning. Brother Potts, would you pray for the offering, please?
Father, Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for
mighty shout resounding in the sky. And power and great glory, King Jesus will appear and take his children home to paradise. It will be a celebration for the ones who chose his name, but total separation for the ones who turned away. Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for the call? Soon the angels will assemble to usher in the Son of God. Will he come and find you faithful?
Through the blood there is a way to secure your reservation on that resurrection day. Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for the call? Soon the angels will assemble to usher in the Son of God. Will he come and find you faithful? Will he know your name at all? Every moment brings us closer. Are you ready for the call? There's an urgency to reach the world. We have no time to waste. For within the heart of mortal man, the burning question now is raised. Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for the call? Soon the angels will assemble to usher in the Son of God. Will he come and find you faithful? Will he know your name at all? Every moment brings us closer. Are you ready for the call? Every moment brings us closer. Are you ready for the call?
Let's stand once again as we sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. 437.
Oh,
Well, amen. Aren't you thankful for a faithful God? I tell you, God is so good to us. It's our honor to have the Reaps with us today. And if you were here for Sunday school, you got to see their field. They are to the field of the Philippines. I actually met them in the Philippines. They were good friends with the Quinlans and met them while we were there. Matter of fact, the last thing we did in the Philippines was to break bread. Well, it's actually breakfast, probably eggs and things like that. We kind of ate breakfast together, and then we flew back on same plane, come back to America. And so we appreciate their faithful service to the Lord. Brother Reap was the guy that got to preach Brother John's homegoing when he passed away there in the Philippines. So we appreciate you, Brother Reap, and your beautiful wife, Miss Sandy, and we're thankful that you're able to be with us today and preach for us.
Once again, good morning. Certainly is a blessing to be here, a privilege to be here. Preacher, thank you for allowing me to stand behind the pulpit. We're going to be talking about what is real faith this morning. If you have your Bibles, I invite your attention to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. Appreciate the great music this morning, the special. Touch your heart. In this passage, James talks about the difference between real faith and false faith or fake faith. Some, I think that James and Paul are contradicting each other's teaching, and that certainly is not the case. The Apostle Paul was fighting against the problem of legalism. The Judaizers, they thought that you had to keep the Jewish laws in order to be a Christian, in order to go into heaven. James is fighting against laxity or worldliness, carnality, who were saying it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you believe, that's all that counts. And so Paul was focusing on the root of salvation, what happens internally. There's something that takes place inside when a person gets saved. God does an inside job. James was focusing on the fruit of salvation, what happens externally. You know, the salvation, as I said, starts from the inside and works its way out. And when a person gets saved, you're going to see a difference in their life. Jesus said, by their fruits ye will know them. And normally, you can talk with someone just for a few minutes, and you can know pretty much if they are saved or not, or if they just have a religion. Religion does not save anyone. Religion is man working and trying to work his way to heaven. Christianity is God reaching down and meeting man's needs. Amen? So there's a big, big difference. Paul addresses how to know you're a Christian. James addresses how to show you're a Christian. And I believe both are very, very important. There's probably a lot of people, I wouldn't say here this morning, but there are a lot of people who really don't know that they're a Christian or know if they are not a Christian, and they have a hope-so salvation. And certainly God doesn't want us to have a hope-so salvation. God is not the author of confusion. If I can get you to stand, we're going to be looking at five principles concerning real faith. Five principles that James gives us concerning real faith. I'm just going to read the first verse that of our text. Verse number 14, if you'll follow along as I read. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for what our hearts have already felt, dear Lord, and the songs that have been sung. Dear Lord, we do thank you that you've allowed us to be born in this great country, the greatest country in the world, America. Thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have for because of those that have gone on before us. And we do pray this morning, dear Lord, and we thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ and for all that we have in him. I do pray, dear Lord, as the message is proclaimed this morning, I pray, dear Lord, that you might use it to clarify in anyone's heart whether they are saved or not, whether they're trusting in the right thing, whether they are have the assurance of salvation. And I just pray that you might be honored and glorified, Lord, through the message this morning. We thank you again just for the privilege and opportunity we have to assemble together without fear. Bless now our time together. I pray that you'll receive the honor and glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, five principles concerning real faith. The first one is real faith is not just something you say. Not just something you say. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and hath not works? And the idea is here, can that faith save him? Really, that's what he's asking. If a man claims to be a Christian, if a man claims to be a child of God, and yet there's no proof of it externally, I don't know about you, but you know, I'm going to wonder, where is the proof? Where is the changed life? Where is the spirituality in your life? And I really believe that's what James is saying here. It doesn't say that this man has faith. The verse said he is claiming to have faith. Have you ever met someone that says, yeah, I know the Lord. Yes, I believe in God. I think I'm going to go to heaven. And yet there is no works. There's no spirituality. There's no evidence externally to say, I've had people tell me, you know, that they're Christians, and I said, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church. I'm thinking there's something wrong with that when they're not going to church and not a member of a church, and yet they're saying, yes, I believe in God, and I believe I'm going to end up in heaven. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but there's no evidence in their life. The Bible says it's more than just talk that is involved in real faith. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7:21. So not everyone who is a professor of Christianity is a possessor of Christianity. A lot of people claiming they know the Lord. A lot of people claiming they are Christians. Talk is cheap. James is saying that real faith is not just something you say. Secondly, real faith is not just something that you feel. A lot of people, they feel, well, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, we had a financial problem and we prayed to God and God met our financial need and we just know God in a personal way and for sure we're going to end up in heaven. And I'm thinking, what does that have to do with salvation? I believe God can answer a prayer. I believe that God can meet financial needs even for the lost, but certainly that is no proof that they have accepted Christ. There's no proof there at all that they have repented of their sin. Nothing about that at all. There is a way to get to heaven, and there's a way to think you're going to heaven. There's two different ways, really. You can be emotionally moved. I'm an emotional person. When I got saved, no one was there. I was reading a gospel tract. The Holy Spirit was there. But nobody was there telling me what to say. No one was there telling me, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that. But I had heard enough. I had seen the film A Thief in the Night, for those of you years ago, about the rapture. And the Lord used that film and convicted my heart. Also, the Lord sent someone on the job site who was a Christian, who was a soul winner, witness to me. So the seed was planted. The church was praying for me. And I had the Word of God there. And as I was reading it, I got under conviction and I knew I needed to be saved. And I got up and I went in, knelt down, prayed, and praise God, I got saved that night. And there was a change in my life, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But faith is more than something that you say. Faith is more than something that you feel. Our feelings change, isn't that right? If I was to ask you this morning, have you ever doubted your salvation? Probably most of us have. I don't think that's a sin. I think it's normal and natural. Satan is the deceiver. And Satan wants those who are saved to doubt their salvation. Satan wants those who are lost to think they're saved. Because if he can win in any of those areas, he's getting a victory. And so we need to be careful that our feelings are based upon the Word of God. Our doctrine is based upon the Word of God. Our future, our destiny is based upon, thus saith the Lord, not our feelings, because our feelings change. God's Word doesn't change. God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Our feelings change. We can feel really good. We can get up one morning and feel real nice. And getting up today, you know, there's an overcast. It's almost foggy. And someone might say, oh, I feel depressed today. I want the sun to shine. Our feelings are affected many times, and our feelings certainly do change. The Bible says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needed to the body, what profiteth it? You can get involved emotionally and yet do nothing about it. Your emotions can, you can have sympathy on someone, but if you don't help them or do something for them, what good is that faith? What good is that feeling? If you don't respond, if you don't actually do something, this is specifically talking about another believer. Real faith is more than just sympathy. Real faith is more than just feeling sorry for someone. Real faith is giving assistance where assistance is needed. It's taking action. Real faith takes the initiative. It's practical. It gets involved. We live in a world where people don't get involved. We had our granddaughter a lady ran through the stop sign or the four-way intersection and hit our daughter's car, turned her over on the side, and she was hanging upside down. People were going by. No one would assist her. How sad is that? But that's the world that we live in today. It really is. We're in our daughter's apartment, and I was looking out. The post office is right there. And this elderly lady came walking out with this box, and you could tell she was really having a hard time. And she got out close by the sidewalk. Her car's over there. And she just literally dropped the box and stood there. People were walking in. People were walking out past her like she was invisible. How sad is that? I told my wife and daughter, I said, I'm going to go help her. Nobody else is helping her. I put my shoes on, went out there and helped her to her car. Oh, praise the Lord. How come how many people walked by her, no one helping her? Isn't that where we're at today, sad to say? This verse is specifically talking about another believer. We are to help one another. We are a family, amen? And I believe we have the responsibility to help one another. The Bible tells us that, Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You have a brother or sister that has a need and you can meet that need. Lord, please help me to meet that need. Lord, please help me to do something about it. You've blessed me in such a way where I'm able to help that individual. I guarantee you, you will feel good about helping that person. A real believer is supposed to help other believers. We are a lot better at verbalizing our faith than practicing our faith. And all God's people said, yeah, yeah. Good about telling everyone how spiritual we are, but where is the spirituality? Where is the Christ-likeness? We can't meet everyone's need, but certainly there are many people God places upon our heart. I wonder when God places upon our heart, give this person a track. Oh, I wish I could, but I don't have any. Well, sin on us. Shame on us. I tell our folks in the Philippines, I don't want to wear a shirt without a pocket because if I have a shirt without a pocket, I can't have tracks in my pocket. Amen? I think we should always have tracks. I'm sure you have a track rack where you can get tracks and hand them out to those that you meet. That is the command that we're given of the Lord. Even so, if faith hath not works, is dead, being alone. That's not my idea, it's the Word of God. That's what James. James says, do you have real faith? It's more than just something you say, and it's more than just something you feel. So, we continue on. What is real faith? Number three, real faith is not just something you think. A lot of people think they're saved. A lot of people think they're going to heaven. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, I don't know how you show somebody your faith without works. I don't know how you show someone that you're a child of God if you don't manifest good works, if you don't manifest a changed life. True, genuine faith is more than acknowledging the facts about salvation. I believe it's a lot easier to lead a Roman Catholic to the Lord than it is like a Buddhist or someone that doesn't believe in the Trinity. Praise the Lord, at least the Catholics believe in the Trinity. You don't have to convince them, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. The problem is that Mary comes in the scene and they're praying to Mary instead of praying to God. I don't find that in the Word of God. I don't find in the Word of God where Jesus said, if you have a need, pray to my mother. Amen? Show me in the Word of God. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that's the Word of God. If you have a need, Jesus said, when you pray to my Father in my name. He'll give it unto you. So what do? Dear Heavenly Father, now we've been born again in His family. He's our Heavenly Father. And how do we end it? In Jesus' name. Why? Because that's the Bible. It tells us how to pray. But praise the Lord, at least they already believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We just need to show them, yes, He's the Savior of the world, but you need to apply what He did for your life. He needs to be your personal Savior. But we know the Word of God tells us the tradition of men is very strong. Tradition. My parents, my grandparents, and all the way down the line, they were Catholic, and so I'm Catholic, and I'll always be Catholic. I've had people tell me, Well, I promised, you know, I promised my mother, I promised my dad, I promised them that I'll never, ever leave the Catholic Church. And I'm thinking, how sad is that? And it's really a scapegoat. It really is. Our landlord, before he passed off the scene, he told his family, he said, we are renting from him, and he said, the reaps don't raise the rent. He told us that. And the reason why I know he told him that is because the son-in-law told me that he told him that. He says, but the family, you know, the family wants to raise your rent. I'm thinking, how often do we use something that the parents say when we don't want to do it anyway? And how often do we use them when we do want to do something? We're going to do it anyway. No matter what dad says, we're going to raise your rent because we want more money. Very, very sad, but that's usually the way things work out. So we look here, real faith is not just something that you think. You can think you're saved all day, but if you haven't done what the Word of God says in order to be saved, you're thinking wrongly, amen? Your faith is in the wrong place. And so the Word of God is very clear. We don't have, thank God, we don't have a hope-so salvation. I used to have a hope-so salvation. I went my first 8 years to St. Mary's Catholic School, having the nuns teach me. And, you know, I had a hope-so salvation. If you were to ask me back then, are you going to heaven? I'd say, I hope so. I hope I am. I could not say, I know I'm going to heaven. I could not say that. Why? Because I didn't know. I had a hope-so salvation. God did not give us a hope-so salvation. Word of God, once again, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I think that's pretty clear. God says we can know. This morning, if you don't know that you're saved, if you don't know you're on your road to heaven, you need to come to your pastor, come to me, come to one of the men of the church and ask him, I want to know. Brother Reap said, I can know. I want to know. I want 100% assurance. You can know that from the Word of God. Amen? What James is saying is what you and I can say as well. James is saying, I'm not God. You're claiming to have faith, but I can't see your faith. I'm not God. God can know even if a person is not doing something that's, you know, obvious that they're a Christian. God knows when they got saved, amen, if they got saved. And maybe there were circumstances, they didn't get in the church, they didn't grow, maybe they were hindered. They're saved, but they're not growing. There's not a lot of faith there, but God knows they're saved. You and I, we don't know that. All we can know is by looking and observing, and if a person, you look at their life and you see one day they come forward, they get saved, and the next day you know, wow, there's a change in their life. They're different. They're dressing different. They're looking different. They're back in church Sunday night. They're back in church Wednesday night. You can say, wow, I really believe that person probably got saved. Why? Because we can see evidence of salvation. We can see evidence of the Lord in their life. So, real faith always, always, always produces change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's a change. A person gets saved. If there's no change, I'm sorry, I'm going to wonder. You say you're saved, but I don't see any change. I don't see any difference. You're not going to church. You're not reading your Bible. You're not any different than you were before. I have a problem. And I might not tell them that, but I might, you know, be thinking that, thinking, well, you're claiming this, but I'm seeing something different. There's no consistency. So real faith always has to change. Real faith is not just something we say or feel or think. Number four, you're probably going to wonder about this one. Real faith is not just something you believe. Real faith is not something that you just believe. Verse 19. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I've had a lot of people tell me, when I asked them, if you're a child of God, are you going to heaven? Or, what do you think God requires of you to go to heaven? And I have so many people say, well, I believe in God. And my mind always goes to this verse when they tell me I believe in God. I'm thinking a belief in God doesn't get you into heaven. As a Roman Catholic, I believed in God. As a Roman Catholic, I prayed. Sad to say, I prayed to Mary more than anybody. Catholics do that. You know, when they hold the rosary, when they pray the rosary, they're praying 50 times to Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Did I just pray the Hail Mary? No, I quoted the Hail Mary. I don't pray the Hail Mary anymore. You know what that is? It's idolatry, it's vain repetition, and many other things that we don't even have to mention. But I, you know, you don't, you know how when you're learning how to drive a car and it's a stick and you have to do the clutch and do the gas and all that. After a while, it's automatic, is it not? You don't have to think, okay, now I have a first gear. Okay, I got to put the clutch in, leave off the gas, and put it in second. It's just automatic. You just pray the prayer, and you're not really praying the prayer. You're just thinking the prayer. You know, the Bible says God's concerned about our heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Then with the mouth confession is made. As we said, it's an inside job. God works from the inside out. Religion works from the outside. It's external. I'll dress this way, I'll look this way, and whatever. And the reason why is because I want people to think more highly of me than they ought to think. Religion. I can remember going to Mass. We had to go to Mass. If church membership can get you to heaven 8 years, 6 days a week, going to Mass every morning. Going to the priest, confessing, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned. It's been 2 weeks of my last confession I accused myself of. Fought with my sisters, lied to my parents. I don't know anybody that really told the priest everything, amen. I'll just tell him what I want him to know. Four your penance, three Our Fathers, and three Hail Marys. You go out there, okay, you say your prayers. Does that take care of my sin? Jesus' blood took care of my sin. Amen. And anything I can do cannot add. It's an insult to God. It's an insult to Jesus. It's blasphemy. To think I could do anything to pay for my sin. Real faith is not something you just believe. The devil knows who God is. I believe the devil knows the Bible better than you and I do. He's been around a lot longer, amen. His demons certainly know who God is. And as we see here, that they are trembling. Why? Because they know their judgment is coming. The Bible says they believe in God and tremble. Real faith is not just saying, I believe. There is so much easy believism going around today. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, pray after me. Got another notch in my Bible. Okay. Wow, really? Is that the way we're supposed to do it? I don't think so. If real faith is not just something you say or think or feel or believe, then what is real faith? Please tell us, what is real faith? Number 5, real faith is something you do. Real faith is something you do. James gives 2 illustrations here. He's going to use Abraham. And the individuals he's using are so different from each other. Abraham and Rahab, okay? We know Abraham is a man, Rahab is a woman. Different. Ahab is a Jew, Rahab is a Gentile. Big difference. Ahab is a patriarch, Rahab is a prostitute. Ahab is a major character in the Bible, Rahab is a minor character. He uses these illustrations. It doesn't matter who you are as long as you've got Bible faith. You're here this morning. You're not saved. You're not certain about your salvation. It doesn't matter who you are. God loved you. Christ died for you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your life is. His blood will cover your sin if you'll repent and come to Him. It doesn't make any difference at all. Their faith in God led them to action. That's what we find that's similar about Abraham and Rahab. Different in so many areas, and yet they had one thing in common, their faith in God. Look at verses 20 to 23 with me, if you would. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So here we find it was Abraham's great faith in God that enabled him, I believe, to become obedient unto the death of his son. Now, that didn't make any sense, did it? Abraham, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, and offer him up as a sacrifice unto me. We don't find that anywhere else in the Word of God where God would ever ask human sacrifice. You know, the heathen did that. But yet we find Abraham believing in his faith in God being so strong that he was willing to go through with that. And Hebrews tells us his faith was so strong that he believed if God allowed him to actually kill his son, that God would raise his son, that God's promise that all nations would be blessed through Isaac would come to pass. That's great faith. Great faith to do something that didn't make any sense. That tells me that God, if God asks you and I to do something, and we know it's the Lord, we know it's according to the Word of God, and we are willing to do it, takes great faith. Just like Abraham, it took great faith for him to follow through and actually do something that made no sense at all. Abraham's actions proved his faith in God without question. We know Rahab, when the spies came in to spy out the land, we know that she risked her life. We know that she risked the life of her family members by hiding them. And yet we find out because of her faith. We find her in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. She made it into God's hall of fame, God's hall of faith. She also was included, as we know, into the family line of Jesus, being the great grandmother of David. Our faith is not determined by what we do. It is demonstrated by what we do. What kind of faith do you have? If you have Bible faith, it's going to show, amen? If you have a faith that is a counterfeit faith, it's not going to show. Talk is cheap. I believe in Jesus. Prove it. You believe in Jesus, prove it. Prove it to the world. The world is looking. The world is watching. Our behavior shows what we really believe. Real faith is visible. Real faith is seen. How about the song that the Sunday school teachers teach? If you're saved and you know it, say amen. If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. Is our life showing it? Our life is to show it. We are the light of this world. We are to let our light so shine. What did Jesus say? How do we let our light so shine? Through our good works. Not through saying we're Christians. Not through saying I'm a Bible believer. Through our life, through good works, through a changed life. We're to be conformed to the image of Jesus. No one doubted who Jesus was. He proved who he was. How? Through his works, through his life, through his love. To be like Jesus. The Bible tells us, and just think for a moment. If I went over into the plug over there and I had a wire and I stuck it into that wire, I would know it. But not only would I know it, everybody else in this place would know I did it too. You know, I'm going to get shocked. Not going to be nice. If that's true, and it's true, not only would I know it, but you would know it as well. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, coming into our life, don't you think people are going to see that? Don't you think there's going to be something there to prove His presence in our life? Hello? Certainly. How could it not make a difference? Are you convinced you're saved? Is your life as convincing to everyone else? Good questions. Are you convinced you're saved? Is everyone around you, are they convinced you're saved? Now, we don't have to prove to anybody, but we should live a life that is proof to everybody. In light of what James says, are you really a Christian? I don't have the ability. Certainly, I'm not God. I can't look at your life. I don't have x-ray vision where I can look in and see the Lord's presence there in your life. The only way I can know you're a Christian is by evidence, by a changed life, by Christ-likeness, by manifesting we're different than the world. Amen? We are different than the world, or we should be different than the world. What changes can you point to in your life? I was telling your pastor yesterday afternoon while we were eating. Of course, God has a sense of humor also, but I was very protective over my hair growing up. My daughters would always, sometimes they would come and want to mess my hair up, and I'd say, "Don't touch my hair." You know, pride. And when I got out of the service, I told my wife, I said, "Honey," I said, "I am sick and tired of people cutting my hair and telling me how to wear my hair. I'm going to wear my hair the way I want to wear my hair." No, I didn't let it go down my back. It was over my ears, over my collar. It was groomed. I said, "My dad made me have short hair. Uncle Sam cut all my hair off." Amen. And I said, "So now I'm out of the service. Now I'm going to wear my hair the way I want to wear it." What is that? It's pride, self-will. We all have a problem with that. So again, long story short, I got saved on a Tuesday night. Before Sunday, God convicted me about my hair. And I told her, I said, I'm going to go get a haircut. So I went to the barber shop, got a haircut, and the barber says, "How do you want it?" I said, "Up over my ears." So there was like a pretty good pile of hair when he got done. And I went home, and my wife looked at me, and she goes, "What have you done?" She says, "You look like a little boy now." You know what to be super transparent, you know what? I sat in the chair, and I thought, "Lord, I'm yours. And whoever he does it, he does it." Amen? I'm putting myself in your hands. Let him do what you want him to do. And you know, praise the Lord. Sunday morning, got baptized. Sunday morning, the tithe was in the offering plate. I'm not trying to break my arm, pat myself on the back. I'm telling you, I was changed. There was proof there. Where is the proof in our life? How do we show the world how different we are from what we used to be? And sad to say, how about when we get backslidden? You know, that really hurts our testimony. We're all capable of backsliding for sure. We're quick to judge others. The Bible talks about, you know, the telephone pole in our eye, and we're at the speck in somebody else's eye, and we're pointing our finger at them, and we fail to see our own sin. We fail to see our own failures. How consistent are we? How much responsibility do we have as a child of God? You know, with privilege comes responsibility, isn't that right? And we are privileged children of God. Comes responsibility. What are we doing with the responsibility of letting our light shine? Of being concerned about others that God brings us into the sphere of influence. And we know they're not saved. What are we doing about it? Paul said, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them which are lost." We don't hide the gospel from each other. We already have it, amen? We can come and praise the Lord. We can rejoice and we can sing the songs and we can hear the preaching. And we can say amen. But how about the multitudes outside these doors that don't know where they're going? They're on the road to hell. And I guarantee you the majority outside is far greater than what we have inside. What are we doing? How are we letting our light shine before them? "For gospel be hid, it's hid from them which are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Well, maybe they'll make it somehow. Who knows? Well, why don't we help them? We talk about the lady drop her in a box and everybody walking by her, no one caring, like she's invisible. Listen, when we walk by people like they're invisible, they are a soul, an eternal soul. They are your responsibility. They are my responsibility. They are our responsibility. What are we doing about it? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We definitely are the minority in this world. There are so many different religions, and sad to say, so many of the religions are not Bible-based. I'm not saying that just Baptists are going to heaven. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, how many religions are teaching faith plus works? How many religions are teaching, oh, you got to get baptized? I believe you should get baptized. But I don't believe that you have to be baptized. I don't believe in that doctrine where, you know, you have to be baptized to go to heaven. How about the thief on the cross? But I believe as a child of God, what am I supposed to do? You need to get baptized. First Sunday, I'm getting baptized. I was telling your pastor that the next Saturday they had bus visitation. I didn't know what bus visitation is. But I thought if the church is having it, I need to be there. So I went and I joined in, and the pastor put me with the guy, and I thought, okay, now is my OJT. I'm going to watch. I'm going to observe. I'm going to learn what you're supposed to do. Well, we got in this trailer park, nice sunny day. He goes, man, this is great. He said, let me have a word of prayer. So he prayed, and I thought, okay, let's go. And he goes, okay, I'm starting over here down this way. I want you to go over there and start over there. I was thinking, excuse me? I just got baptized last Sunday. I just got saved last week. You're wanting me to do what? I was very shy. Very shy. And I thought, okay, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? I can remember talking to a gentleman that afternoon, and actually it was that morning. And I'm talking to him, telling him we have a bus ministry, and he says, I guess you're going to tell me about Nicodemus. I thought, who in the world is Nicodemus? I had no clue who Nicodemus was. I just got saved. But I went home, John chapter 3, must be born again. I thought, this is pretty good. And then I went out again, and somebody said, you're going to do this, or ask me a question on that. I went home and found the answer. The next thing you know, I got 5 answers, and then 10 answers, and then 15 answers. You know, the more answers I had, the more I was ready to talk to people. Talk to Jehovah's Witness, and Walter Martin, Kingdom of the Cults, bought his tapes, listened to them. I want to be equipped. I want to learn. I want to help people. And the only way I can help them is if I know what the Bible says about their problem, about their need. God help us. We are commissioned by God. We're soldiers in His army. What kind of soldier are we? Are we faithful or unfaithful? Are we obedient or disobedient? God loves us. God wants to use us. It's a privilege. It's only by His grace that He allows us to join Him in the redemption of the world. No, we don't save anyone, but we need to tell people how they can get saved. Are you saved this morning? No one can prove your salvation better than you. I get very irritated when I go into a home. If I'm talking to the husband and the wife is answering the questions, I'm rude enough to say, please let your husband answer. Oh, he's saved. Well, let him tell me he's saved. Maybe you've been saying to every pastor that's come here for years, he's saved and saved. He's never had the chance to say, no, I'm not saved. Or a child, the same way. Don't tell me your children are saved. I want to hear from them. They need to know they're saved. They need to know they prayed. They need to know they repented. They need to know they're going to heaven. Because, not because you're telling them, but because they prayed and they did what God said they needed to do. They repented of their sin. They prayed to God, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I commit my life to Jesus. They need to know that. They need to do that. And no one, I believe, has the right to say, oh, they're okay, they're okay, don't bother them. No, let me hear it. I want to hear it from them, not from you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning. I do thank you, dear Lord, for your word. And I thank you, dear God, for helping us to see, dear Lord, are we saved? Are we lost? Are we in between somewhere and not? And really, there's no in-between. We're one or the other. We're either saved and know it, or we're lost, dear Lord. And I'm sure there can be some who are saved and don't realize it because they haven't grown. But dear God, I pray that you would use the message this morning to speak to hearts. Help us, Lord, not only to know that we're saved, but Lord, help us to do something about it and bring others to you, that they too might have that same assurance of salvation. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed you. And dear God, I just pray that your word would touch hearts and lives. Help us, dear God, to be the witness that you've commanded us to be. We'll be careful to thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Would you stand this morning as we have an opportunity to respond to the word of God? Maybe you're not saved this morning. You need to come. I'm sure someone will meet you here at the altar, show you from the word of God how you can know, have a know-so salvation, how you can know that Jesus is your Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Come and present yourself. Church membership, transfer. Come and talk with the pastor. Whatever your need is this morning, certainly it can't be met in a spiritual way. Are you living the life? Are you living in such a way that others look at your life and they know you're a child of God? Are you embarrassed to tell somebody you're a Christian? God, help us to be obedient children. He wants us to obey. Jesus came to glorify the Father. We need to glorify the Father. We need to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in and through our lives by what we do, by what we choose to do. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. We need to let people know that. Preacher.
Today, and so all in favor of little Lexi getting baptized, showing that she knows Christ. Christ as their Savior. A good hearty amen.
Amen.
Anyone opposed? And just as was preached this morning, we know that water doesn't save. It's just a picture of what Christ has already done in her heart.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let Mom and Lexi go that way. I'm going to go this way. We'll have a couple of songs, and then we'll have a baptism.
Amen.
Amen.
Sing hymn number 22, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Lexi, it gives me great pleasure to baptize thee, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, bearing the likeness of his death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. So, one other thing I think we ought to do as a church is go ahead and take the REITs on for support. I'd like to make a motion we take them on at $75 a month. Have a second down here. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, so we're going to have the REITs go to the back. back, and you can shake hands with our latest missionaries as you leave. I remind you that our evening service has been moved for the remainder of summer to 1 o'clock. And so if you're planning to come back for the evening service, I'll see you at 1 o'clock. All right? Let's go ahead and stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. It's good to have Brother Richard and Miss Leslie here. Brother Richard, would you close us in prayer today?
Again for your goodness and the challenge we've heard from your word, Lord, we pray that we take seriously our obligation to be that light to the world around us, that we would be constantly seeking to be that witness for you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, and we pray that we would be challenged to truly show forth the faith we have in you, make a difference in our lives, and that it might make a difference in the lives of those around us. We ask that you be honored. We pray you be honored and glorified in the rest of the day and the service to follow in the afternoon. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.